Good morning. How are you this morning? It's good to be here. Welcome to all the people watching along at home this morning. We're glad that you can be with us. So thanks for that reading, Troy. There should be a disclaimer when you sign up to read the Bible, though. No hard names to pronounce at the beginning, right? No, you did very well, very confident. So who took up the challenge of reading Haggai this week? All two chapters? Well done, well done. Now, if you looked it up electronically on your device, it's quite easy to find, isn't it? But if you're using a paper Bible this morning or if you found it during the week, it's a little bit trickier to find. So if you're still flicking through, even though we've already made it through the reading, trying to find it, it's sandwiched in there between Zephaniah and Zechariah, right at the end of the Old Testament. And I'd encourage you to open it up this morning as we go through. So this morning we are setting the scene for our new series called The Time Is Now. And throughout this book, God speaks through the prophet Haggai to the Jewish people. It covers a period of approximately 4 months in 520 BC, and it describes the work of the prophet Haggai. Haggai encourages his community to rebuild this temple that has been destroyed, to rededicate it to Yahweh in Jerusalem. But how do we get to that point? It's important for us to understand the context before we arrive in Haggai this morning. So in order for us to understand the significance, we need to go back to the reign of King Solomon. During the fourth year of his reign, King Solomon started to build this magnificent temple. It was built for God and it was more glorious than we could ever imagine. But after King Solomon died, the people, like they had done many times before, turned away from God. Their hearts turned away from him. They got distracted like people often do, and they started to worship idols. So then in 587 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar and his army crushed the southern kingdom of Judah. They destroyed the temple, completely humiliating for all the people, and to add insult to their injury, they destroyed the house that God dwelt in. They stripped away the spiritual identity of the Jewish people of the time, and they were completely devastated. Then, after that, the Jewish people were taken into captivity, specifically for 50 years. Now, technically, they were in captivity before the destruction of the temple, so about 70 years all up. But for 50 years after the temple had been destroyed, these people were living in captivity. Can you just imagine that for a moment? 50 years, I kind of feel like we throw that number out there like it's not much at all, but 50 years of being in captivity. But then in 538 BC, King Cyrus of Persia allowed these exiled Jews who had been in captivity back to rebuild the temple. 50,000 people were able to travel back to Jerusalem, the capital of Judah, to rebuild. Finally, after 5 decades of waiting, they were allowed back to rebuild the temple. You can imagine the sense of excitement, of anticipation as they made their way back ready to do this. We get to rebuild the house of our God. We get to have our own place again. And so the Jewish people, they went back and they set out to rebuild this temple. According to the book of Ezra in chapter 3, 2 years later in 536 BC, construction of the temple began. It was led by Zerubbabel. However, the work stopped after just 2 years in 534 BC because their adversaries in Judah and in Benjamin had placed obstacles in their way. They faced some opposition to their rebuild, and so they thought, oh, this is just hard. It's hard work. Must not be the right time for us to rebuild, because if it were, God would have paved the way. He would have made it easy, and so they stopped. And so that's our backstory. So then for 14 years, these people waited. They didn't work on the temple. For 5 decades before that, that's all they thought about, this hope of going home and rebuilding the temple of their God. And when it got difficult for 14 years, they put the project on hold. And instead of working on God's house, guess what they did? They worked on their own. They actually started building their own houses, and they built very, very nice houses and forgot about building God's house. So what God does is he raises up the prophet Haggai and he comes to deliver this message to the people. So in the second year of the reign of Darius in 520 BC, Haggai instigates this building of the temple once more. We don't really have any clear information why it was possible in this second year. We think it's because Darius had become the king, and presumably it was related to political changes at the time that led to these events. But that's where we're at when we get to Haggai chapter 1. If you want to open your Bibles this morning, we're going to jump in at Haggai 1 verse 2. And I think that this verse is actually a little bit funny. It's a funny way to start off the scripture because it says, "This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house." Do you think that's a little bit funny? These people, he says. Now, usually in the Old Testament, when we look back, God refers to his people, my children. Any parents ever do that with their kids? You know, when me or my brothers did something wrong, often I would hear my mum say, "Your daughter spilled her dessert all over the floor," or, you know, "Your sons put their foot through the wall." Anyone ever done that? God's kind of distancing himself from the people in this moment. These people say the time has not yet come. The Message translation says the people procrastinate. They say this isn't the right time to rebuild the temple of God. 14 years is a lot of procrastination. If you read your Parramatta's this week or you saw our post on Facebook, you'll know that I confessed to many late nights in high school because I was a classic procrastinator. There was just too much other fun stuff to be done than to sit there and work on assignments that weren't due for 2 weeks. I would put it off. I would procrastinate. Procrastination is this habit of avoiding urgent tasks despite negative consequences. And you know, when we procrastinate, we delay our priorities and we focus on less important tasks, probably more enjoyable tasks. Now, most of us are pretty naturally inclined to put things off, aren't we? When the going gets rough, when we meet some resistance. So it's not surprising that the Jewish people procrastinated for so long. They received opposition. Things got tough, and so the work stopped. You know, how often in our own lives, when we face opposition in what God is calling us to do, do we put it off? Do we think, "Oh, it must not be God's will if it's a little bit hard. If God really wanted me to do this, it would be much easier." And so we stop, we put it off, we procrastinate. You know, the moment you start to move forward, start doing the things that God is calling you to do, I can almost guarantee you that you'll face opposition. You'll face resistance. When we find ourselves being obedient to God and it gets challenging and difficult, as it often does, I want to encourage you with this one simple thought. Choose the hard right over the easy wrong. Choose the hard right over the easy wrong. See, the Jewish people, they chose the easy wrong, and that's what got them to where they were. It was so easy for them to stop focusing on God and to start focusing on themselves. It would have been hard and right to continue rebuilding the temple. Choose the hard right over the easy wrong. It would be so easy when someone hurts your feelings to hold a grudge, to be angry at them, but it's hard and right to forgive other people as Christ has forgiven us. It's easy to continue to spend more than you have, to go into debt, to live above your means, but it's hard and right to begin to climb out of debt, to live beneath your means so that you can be generous in this community. It's easy to give up. It's easy not to make a difference. But as we as followers of Jesus, with the help of God, we choose the hard right over the easy wrong. And this is what the prophet is going to help empower the people to do. He essentially tells them the time is now. Verse 4 goes on to ask, "Is this a time for yourselves to be living in panelled houses while my house remains a ruin?" Now, you might be thinking, what even is a panelled house? Well, probably had walls and ceilings that were covered in cedar wood. Such decoration was a sign of prosperity in the time that they were living in. And it was scarce. The wood was scarce. So the people were spending freely on their own homes, investing into their own homes, while they neglected the rebuilding of the temple. And according to some commentaries I read, this is basically high-end living kind of stuff, right? They've got the best TVs or they've got the fanciest bench tops. And you know, God is not saying I'm against you having nice things, because he's not. He's against us putting those nice things in front of him. The people concentrated their livelihood and their personal survival, and they neglected the public enterprise of rebuilding the temple. And God is saying, it's time for you to fix your priorities. See, in these ancient Near Eastern religions, we have to understand that temples were the site of divine presence on earth. It's difficult for us contemporary readers to fully comprehend how tremendous the importance of these temples were. The temple functioned as this tangible symbol of the presence of God in the community and their continued status as God's people. It should have taken high priority for these people, and yet for 14 years it laid in ruins. So many other things got in the way. So many other things had taken priority. And I want to ask you this morning, what's got in the way of what God has asked you to start or rebuild? Well, our challenge through Haggai is for the people to take an honest moment of self-reflection after 14 years of procrastination. Verse 5 says, "Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways." The Message paraphrase says, take a good hard look at your life. Think it over. You know, when I was a teenager, I frequently remember getting into trouble and my dad sending me off to my room by saying, "Sarah, you better go and take a good hard look at yourself." And I used to think, what does that even mean? Do I go and sit in front of the mirror for a couple of hours and stare really intently? I don't know. But perhaps my dad was onto something there. I think what he meant is it's time for you to go and take a good hard look at what you've done. Spend some time in honest self-reflection. Consider your ways. God is saying to the people, seriously? This is how you're behaving? Take an honest reflection, because this is what it's looking like for me. And this is what he goes on to outline. You have planted much, but you've harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. In other words, he's saying, you are never satisfied. Your life is not all of it's cracked up to be because you're not doing what I called you to do. It's time to take a good, hard look at your life. Consider your ways. Give careful thought to what you're doing. And then once the people saw what they had become, once they came to this point of realization, how distracted they've been, God gives the people some very simple instructions. Verse 8 says, "Go up into the mountains and bring down the timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored," says the Lord. Three simple instructions. Go up into the mountain, bring down the timber, and rebuild my house. See, the rebuilding of the temple wasn't just going to magically happen because the people set their mind on it again. And most of the time for us, we're not just handed opportunities. We don't just walk into our dream job. We don't just get handed healthy, thriving relationships. We don't just walk into flourishing ministries. All of these things take work, often hard labor, one simple step after the other. Go up into the mountains, bring down the timber, build my house. Climbing mountains is hard. Carrying timber, also hard. Rebuilding a temple, hard. But God called the people to work. And sometimes the things that God is calling us to do just need work. Perhaps that's not the message you came here today to hear, and I'm very sorry about that. If you came here expecting that I was going to tell you it's all going to be really easy, that's just not the reality of anyone's life, right? It certainly wasn't the reality of God's people as Haggai called them to action. And I'm sure standing there in that completely restored, beautiful temple at the end of all their work would have been amazing. But in order to get there, the people had to work day in, day out, bit by bit, choosing the hard right over the easy wrong, in this continual cycle of honest self-reflection. And they didn't turn back when it got hard. So let me ask you, what is God calling you to today? Is there something unfinished in your life? Are you a procrastinator? Do you put things off? The time is now. Start rebuilding. Is there a career path that you're called to pursue? A small group that God has been calling you to start. Maybe it's a conviction to simply come back to spending time with God each and every day. The time is now. Take the simple steps. Put in the work. Choose the hard right. Because we'll see in the coming weeks that God rewards our perseverance and our obedience when we're living in pursuit of Him. And you know, if there's nothing that comes to mind as we work through this scripture this morning, then the challenge is to keep considering your ways, to ask yourself if there's things in your life that have become a priority over the pursuit of what God's calling you to. You know, Haggai's encouragement to rebuild the temple in the face of the Jews' neglect brings to mind this passage from the Apostle Paul, his exhortation to Christians to build their life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, 10 to 11 says, "By the grace God has given me, I lay a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than what is already laid, which is Jesus Christ." So this morning, are you building your life on the foundation of Jesus Christ? If not, the time is now. What's God calling you to? To start to rebuild? The time is now. Choose the hard right over the easy wrong. Give careful thought to your ways. Put in the work.